Well, I don't have Maror Machlokes tonight. I do have a topic that I find really intriguing, and I hope you do as well. The topic is obviously supposed to be about Hanukkah, because it's Hanukkah, but this is only tangentially related to Hanukkah. I was looking through the Minchas Asher on Hanukkah, his Shiurim on Hanukkah, and the last piece, I think it's the last piece he has on Hanukkah, he discusses the following issue, which I must be missing. Many examples of this, that maybe it'll be like a challenge to think of where else this comes up, that we're not thinking of. The Gemara in Shabbos Chav Gimel, and Daf Chav Gimel, when it talks about Hadlaka Usa Mitzvah or Hanacha Usa Mitzvah, what exactly is the nature of the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it the Maisa Hadlaka that's the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, or is it the placing down of the menorah, of the Ner, that's the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? The Gemara says, well, it's clear what the Mitzvah is, because the bracha that one recites before lighting Ner Chanukah is a Shekhar Shalom Tosef Sanud Lahadlik Ner, maybe Shel, maybe not Shel, Chanukah. But it's Lahadlik. So if the Nusach HaBrach is Lahadlik, so obviously, therefore, Hadlaka is a mitzvah. So Rav Asher Weiss raised a very intriguing question. How often do we find that we're not sure of the mahus of the mitzvah, we're not sure what the nature of a mitzvah is, so look to the bracha, and based on the bracha, we could determine what the mitzvah is. We could determine the very nature of the mitzvah based on the bracha. So I want to divide tonight's shiur into three parts. First part is, where else do we talk to find that? That we look at the bracha and it helps us determine the nature of the mitzvah. Second part is, do we ever find the opposite? That we adjust the mitzvah, not because that's what the mitzvah really demands, but because we're trying to keep the mitzvah consistent with the bracha. And if we do find the opposite, well, that's very strange. How can both things be true? Which is it? You know, which one is it? The cart leading the horse, or the horse leading? Which one takes the lead over here? Is it the bracha that has to conform to the mitzvah, or the mitzvah that has to conform to the bracha? So that's going to be the second part, discussing where we might find the opposite, where we actually adjust a mitzvah in order to accommodate a nusach of a bracha. And third part, we're going to discuss a chiddush of the Ramah in Darkei Moshe, where he suggests that there might even be certain circumstances where one is able to recite a birchas mitzvah even though he's not actually doing a mitzvah. So do we ever have such a thing, that one could recite a birchas mitzvah without actually doing a mitzvah? Normally we would call that, like if I were to recite a bracha, Asher Kishom Sos Mitzvahnu Alechilas Matzah right now, we would call that a bracha levatala. So is there any such case where it's not a bracha levatala to recite a birchas mitzvah without actually doing the mitzvah? So let's start with first things first. Where do we find this idea that we apparently find by Neres Chanukah that the bracha, the Hadik Shel Ner Chanukah, enables us to understand the nature of the mitzvah, that it's got to be Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah? So Rav Asher suggests three Maror Machlokes. One is the Tosos in Masechta Shabbos Daf Chafei, in Masechta Arach and Daf Beis Amabez, in Masechta Yevamos Daf Tzadi Amabez, quotes a sheet of the Bahag. The Bahag holds that there is a discussion in the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Beis what the chiyuv, nature of the chiyuv tzitzis is. Is it chavas gavra or is it chavas mana? Is it a chiyuv that if you have a beggar of dalet kanfos, even if it's hanging in your closet, it requires tzitzis, because any beggar of dalet kanfos is a chiyuv on the item, it's a chiyuv on the clothing? Or is it no, it's a chavas gavra. If you choose to wear a beggar of dalet kanfos, that's when it's chayiv in tzitzis. So the Bahag says it's pashut that it's a chavas gavra. How do I know it's a chavas gavra? Because the bracha is lehisatev. So if the bracha is a satif, it's clearly the bracha teaches us that the nature of the mitzvah is only when it's l'satif. And if you're not being misatif, then there is no mitzvah. Now, one could have argued differently. One could have argued, we say, you know, the mitzvah might even be a chavas mana, but we don't recite a bracha on every mitzvah that we are mekayim. We recite a mitzvah on every mitzvah, we recite a bracha rather on every mitzvah that we do. When there's a maisa mitzvah, the bracha is always recited on a maisa mitzvah, not necessarily just on a Kiyuma mitzvah, but that's not what Bag says. Bag says the fact that the bracha is lis atev, it's mochiach the nature of the mitzvah, that the mitzvah must be a chavas gavra, not a chavas mana. That's example number one. Example number two, Tosus in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Amud Beis proves that a different issue, a slightly different issue. At what point does a beged become chayiv in tzitzis? At what point? Meaning, now that we know that it's chavas gavra. So you have a beggar of dalet kanfos hanging in my closet, it's not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. I take it out of the closet, it's in my hand, still not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. At what point am I chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis? Is it at the shas ha'atifa, which is when I am putting it on, when I'm first wrapping myself in it, or is it only b'shas levisha, once I am already wearing the tzitzis? In Chaps and Afkamina, how to play out the asei dochalos asei of shatnas and tzitzis. That klayim b'tzitzis is one of the prime examples. That and saras b'mila, the two major examples in shas, where we say asei is dochalos asei, that you can't wear shatnas, but you have a chiv tzitzis. Even on a beged of linen, you have to have wool, because the tcheles can only be on wool. The tcheles dye doesn't stick to anything else. So you're putting wool and linen. A linen beged is chayv and sits midaraisa. Why are you allowed to do that? Isn't it shatnis? So how can you do that? Asei docha los asei. The mitzvah asei of tzitzis is docha the los asei of shatnis. Yeah, but is that really be'idna? Is that really happening simultaneously? Meaning the mitzvah of tzitzis is only once you're chayv and tzitzis. The isra of shatnis is as soon as you wear it. So which is it? Is it the isra of shatnis b'shas atifa, when you start to put it on, and the isra of and the mitzvah of tzitzis is only later, once you're already wearing it? Or is it simultaneous? Exactly how it works out. So there is a machlokas rishonim, exactly how to understand when the mitzvah of tzitzis kicks in. Is it b'shas atifa or b'shas levisha? So the Tosin Yevamos proves that it's got to be b'shas atifa, because the bracha is le'satif. If the bracha is le'satif, that has to be a reflection of the nature of the mitzvah. So again, you see this notion that the bracha teaches us what the nature of the mitzvah is. Now, what about the other sheet in the Balei HaTosos, the sheet of the Ri? The sheet of the Ri is that it's b'shas levisha. So how's he going to understand the bracha? So he might say, I don't care what the bracha is. The bracha is obviously a later invention. The mitzvah predated the bracha. So you don't have to tell me the mitzvah doesn't have to conform to the bracha. So okay, the bracha is not exactly an exact description of what the mitzvah necessarily is. Ein achinami. But the bracha is a description of something very similar to what the mitzvah is. But it doesn't have to be that it lines up perfectly. Or it could be maybe different. I was thinking maybe it's a little different. Maybe it could be that what the Re would say back, you're right. Lis atef, if there's a bracha lis atef, then the nature of the mitzvah has to be lis atef. But the Re says it's not. The Re says the chiyuv is only b'shas levisha, not b'shas atifa. Maybe you could split it. Maybe you could say as follows. That levisha is the result. It's what happens after you do the atifa. The atifa is the action, it's the maisa, it's what you do in order to achieve levisha, in order to achieve being, you are dressed now because you got dressed. When one gets dressed, then they are dressed. It could be that the mitzvah of tzitzis has two critical components, and this might be the sheet of the Ri, that it's true. The chiyuv tzitzis is only b'shas levisha, is only once one is dressed. But what's the maisa mitzvah? That's the kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah is only once you are dressed. But what's the maisa mitzvah of tzitzis? The maisa is clearly doing the dressing. It's putting the tzitzis on you. It's doing the atifa. You see, most of the time, when we talk about a maisa mitzvah and a kiyum mitzvah, they don't really split from each other. They're exactly the same. Most of the time, when you do a maisa, boom, right away, you have a kiyum. How does one does a, what's the maisa mitzvah of achilas matzah? Eating the matzah. And as soon as you eat the matzah, that's your kiyum, achilas matzah. Picking up a lulav, the maisa is to pick up the lulav, and as soon as you do it, you got the mitzvah of lulav. Almost all the mitzvahs are like that. That the maisa and the kiyum can't really be separated. But every once in a while, you have a mitzvah where the maisa can be separated from the kiyum. Sometimes ever so slightly, not always by large gaps. Sometimes it's a very slight separation between the maisa and the kiyum. But tzitzis might be such an example, that the atifa is the maisa mitzvah, and the levisha is the kiyum mitzvah, according to the Ri. So what the Ri might argue is, you're right, the bracha l'satef tells you that the atifa is a chelik of the mitzvah. But which chelik? The bracha should reflect the maisa mitzvah, not the kiyuma mitzvah. So you don't have any raya against me. The Ri might argue to the other Balei HaTosfos that just because there's a bracha of lis atef, that there's a chiyuv already b'shas atifa. No, that the bracha of lis atef just reflects the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyum mitzvah in achinami is only going to be later b'shas levisha. This idea of the Maisa being separated from the Kiyum and a potential Machlokas Rishonim about what a bracha is supposed to be on. Is the language of a bracha supposed to reflect the Maisa mitzvah, or is it supposed to reflect the Kiyum mitzvah? Now again, in most cases, it's one and the same, so it's hard to tell. It's hard to bring rayas, you know, because Alach Hilas Matzah, that's both the Maisa and the Kiyum. Laniach Tvilin, that's both the Maisa and the Kiyum. Very hard to bring rayas whether a Nusach HaBracha is supposed to reflect the Maisa or the Kiyum. Rav Shechter has in Eretz HaTzvi the following, what I think is a brilliant presentation of a well-known sugya, but a slightly different angle on it. There's, I think he says this from the Rav. There's a machlokes rishonim about the nature, about what the bracha one recites on the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is. What's the bracha on tkiyah shofar? Is it l'shmoa kol shofar, or is it l'tkoa shofar, or al tkiyah shofar, whichever. Is it l'shmoa or l'tkoa? So the classic way of explaining that machlokes rishonim, the typical way of explaining that machlokes, is they must be arguing about what the mitzvah is. If you hold the Shema kol shofar, the mitzvah is not to blow shofar. It's a misnomer when people say, oh, I'm doing the mitzvah of blowing shofar. No, that's not a mitzvah. No such mitzvah of blowing shofar. The mitzvah is to hear a shofar. That's the mitzvah. And if you hold the tkoa, there's no mitzvah to hear a shofar. The mitzvah is to blow a shofar. Elamai, how do I, not everyone blows their own shofar, how could you say the mitzvah is to blow a shofar? Well, there's a mitzvah to say Kiddush, there's a mitzvah to read Parsha Zachar, not everyone does those things themselves. We have a mechanism called Shomea Ka'ona, that when I hear it, it's as if I am doing it, it's as if I am saying it, it's as if I am producing the sound that I'm hearing. But you need that mechanism of Shomea Ka'ona in order to say it's as if I am doing it. That's the classic presentation, that it's a machlokas, whether the mitzvah is the Shemia, or the mitzvah is the tkiyah. Rav Shechter points out in the name of many achronim that neither side can be absolutely true. It can't be. It's almost impossible to argue that based on the Gemaras, that the mitzvah is purely shmiya, and it's equally impossible to argue that the mitzvah is purely tkiyah. Why is it impossible to argue? Because the Gemara very explicitly, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, applies the principle of Shomea Ka'ona to listening to shofar. That you, why am I yotzei the mitzvah of shofar when I listen to the shofar? I once tried to blow it, didn't work out so well. So now I'm yotzei only by listening. Why am I yotzei the mitzvah of shofar when I listen to the shofar? Shomea ka'ona. Well, wait a second. If the mitzvah is tkiya, I understand very well. I need shomea ka'ona to make it as if I am tokeya. But if the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, why do I need Shomea Kona? I don't want to be Ona. All I want to be is Shomea. That's all I'm supposed to be. The whole mitzvah is Shemia. So the very notion, the very fact that the Gemara applies Shomea Kona to Tkiyah Shofar implies that the mitzvah is Tkiyah and not Shemia. On the other hand, the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah discusses the following. I take my shofar and I blow it into a pit in the ground. So it creates a massive echo. So the Gemara says, Im kol shofar shama, the Mishnah says, Im kol shofar shama, if you actually hear the sound of your shofar when you blew it into the pit, yatza. Im kol havara shama, lo yatza. If you only hear the echo and you don't hear the shofar, not yotze. Well, wait a second. If the mitzvah is tekiya, what difference does it make what I heard? I'm the one that blew the shofar. I don't need shema kona. I blew it. I did it myself. If the mitzvah is really tekiya, does it matter if I hear anything? Let's say I'm deaf and I blow the shofar, or I put cotton in my ears and I blow the shofar. Well, probably cotton wouldn't work, but I put something else in my ear, I blow the shofar. So if the mitzvah is the tekiya, I should be yotzei. So Elamai, what you see is, it can't really be that the mitzvah is purely shmiya, and it can't really be that the mitzvah is purely tekiya. So rather, what do we have to say? So Rav Shechter suggests, perhaps everyone agrees that tkiyah and shmiyah are both critical. One of them is the maisa mitzvah, one of them is the kiyuma mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is the tkiyah. The kiyuma mitzvah is the shmiyah. So when I'm using shomea ka'ona, that's in order to make the maisa my maisa. The fact that if I blow shofar into a bar, if I don't hear the shofar, I'm not yotzei because I may have done the maisa, I don't have any kiyum, because if I didn't hear anything, there's no kiyum mitzvah. These are two elements. Maybe by shofar also, we could separate the two. A maisa mitzvah from a kiyum mitzvah. He says, in that light, the machlokas rishonim about what the nusach of the bracha is. It's not about what the mitzvah is. It's not about, is the mitzvah shmir, is the mitzvah kulei alma lo pligi. The mitzvah is both. There's a ma'aseh mitzvah and there's a kiyumah mitzvah. What's the machlokas really about? When you're formulating a bracha, should the nusach of the bracha reflect the ma'aseh mitzvah, or should the nusach of the bracha reflect the kiyumah mitzvah? You're making bracha shekhar shav mitzvah v'tzivanu al the fulfillment of this mitzvah, or al the ma'aseh of the mitzvah? So that's the machlokas rishonim. And the truth is, clearly, whenever, as we alluded to before, whenever we say a bracha, we always say a bracha over la siyasa, right before doing the ma'aseh mitzvah. You know, a person can have a kiyum and no bracha because there is no ma'aseh. Rav Shachter has a long discussion about the mitzvah of charoses in the view of the Rambam. That the Rambam paskins, that the Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayos, you can't say charoses is a mitzvah, because if charoses were a mitzvah, you would have to eat a kazayas of it. And then the Rambam Mishnah Torah says, by the way, charoses is a mitzvah, and you don't have to eat a kazayas of it. Well, wait a second. The same Rambam said, if it were a mitzvah, you would have to eat a kazayas. How can then he then paskin that it's a mitzvah, but you don't have to eat a kazayas? What changed in the Rambam's thinking? So Rav Shachter claims that what changed in the Rambam's thinking was that he initially thought that if there is a mitzvah of charoses, the mitzvah is achilas charoses. And then the Rambam realized that no, there's no mitzvah of achilas charoses. There's a mitzvah of a zecher created by having charoses on the table. Charoses should be there. It should be present. There's a kiyum mitzvah with no ma'isa mitzvah. That's what the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam Mishnah Torah, when he describes charoses, he says, umavin al ha-shulchan. Umavin al ha-shulchan. Why would you mention that? Obviously, you bring it to the table. And you know what else you bring to the table? Anything else you want to eat that night. Why would he mention that you bring it to the table? He says, no, the Rambam is dafka emphasizing, that's the whole thing. That's all that happens with charoses, is that it has to go on the table. There's no mitzvah sachila. So here you have a kiyum mitzvah of having charoses without a ma'aseh mitzvah. There's no action. There's nothing that you actually do to do a ma'aseh mitzvah of charoses. So generally speaking, a birchas mitzvah is only when there's a ma'aseh mitzvah. Not only that, a birchas mitzvah can happen when there's a ma'aseh mitzvah, even if that ma'aseh doesn't come together with a kiyum. There's a famous sheet of the Bahag when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. By Sfiras HaOmer, the Bahag holds, if you miss a day, you can't continue counting. You lost it. You blew the whole thing. So what does that tell you? So that Sfiras HaOmer, according to the Bahag, the way most Achronim understand, is one big mitzvah. It's not 49 separate mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah of 49 days of Sfira. That's why if you miss a day, you're out, because you're missing a component of the mitzvah. Oh yeah, one big mitzvah? Why do you say 49 separate brachos on it? Since when do you say 49 brachos on one mitzvah? So what Rav Shachter explains is that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, the kiyum mitzvah is one big kiyum, but there are clearly 49 separate ma'aseh mitzvah. Each night you do a sfira, that's a separate ma'aseh. A bracha is always on a ma'aseh mitzvah. So we recite a bracha and a ma'isa. So when we recite the bracha, there's no doubt. You recite a bracha before doing a ma'isa. The machlokas over here, though, about the tkiya shofar, is not about when you recite the bracha. It's about what the best formulation of the bracha would be. Should the bracha be formulated in such a way where it reflects, where the words of the bracha state the ma'isa, or where the words of the bracha state the kiyum? So I was thinking, that's got to be the machlokas in the Balei HaTosfos as well, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. L'sa'atef b'tzitzis. Of course, l'sa'atef, there's a bracha l'sa'atef, that tells you that atifa is critical to the mitzvah of tzitzis. But some of the Balei HaTosfos hold, that means that the kiyum mitzvah is fulfilled with the atifa, because the bracha should reflect the kiyum mitzvah. Whereas the Ri might say, no, L'sa'atef is the ma'isa mitzvah. The kiyum is at the levisha. The bracha only has to reflect, in the wording, it only has to reflect the ma'isa mitzvah. Because after all, every bracha is on the ma'isa. So it only has to reflect the ma'isa mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah may only come later with the levisha. But be that as it may, that's example number two, where we have that we look at a bracha to reflect what the nature of a mitzvah is. There's Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes in Simul Ches, example number three. All three examples are really the same bracha, but in three different ways. Beis Yosef writes in Simul Ches that we would say this atef on the talis katan because of a low plug. So it's not really a third example, it's just an interesting addition. That a talis katan, there's no atifa. You just put on a talis katan. So says Beis Yosef, you would still say l'satef on a talis katan because of a low plug. When you wear a talis gadol, you do an atifa. So a talis katan, and says Beis Yosef, you know, just like leishev basuka. What does he mean by that? Just like leishev basuka. So pashtus, what he means is, the words leishev basuka mean, what do they mean? To sit in the sukkah. What if you don't sit? You feel tired and you want to learn in the sukkah while you're eating, so you bring a shtender in. So you're shtending in the sukkah the whole time. Right? You're not sitting. So you still make a bracha, leishev basukah. How can you say bracha, leishev basukah? You're not sitting. So Beis Yosef says, yeah, lo plug. The nusach of the bracha was made al pi rov. They formulated the bracha based on the way it's normally done, and therefore it's a lo plug. So he says, same thing with the satif petzitzis. Normally it's with a talis gadol where there's going to be an atifa. In a chinami, a talis katan, you have an atifa. Mishmur recommends maybe lechachilu we should do an atifa even on a talis katan. Okay, but the maker adin, we don't do an atifa on a talis katan. So, but the bracha reflects the general idea that is generally done by atifa. This seems to indicate that we're not so careful. I mean, this is like a counterproof. We're not so careful to make sure the nusach of the bracha and the mahus of the mitzvah align with each other. Because apparently you don't even need an atifa when you wear a talis katan. And how could you not need an atifa? It says l'satev. So apparently it doesn't matter. This is Beis Yosef assuming l'satev is recited even on talis katan, which we, for that reason, we don't pass in this way, right? We pass, Beis Yosef is quoting, we showed him that whole this way, I think Maril or something, but we don't pass in this way. We pass in al mitzvah tzitzis because of that, because it's not accurate to say it on a talis katan. Oh, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden says the leishev basukah thing is a very strange, dimyon. Leishev basukah, it's a trick question, right? Leishev basukah doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. Basukah's teshuvah doesn't mean you should sit for 7 days in the sukkah. It means you should live for 7 days. You should dwell for 7 days in the sukkah. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in Maror Ketziah that really it has nothing to do with sitting in the sukkah. So it's that we do leishev basukah because it means to live in the sukkah. Not so pashut though, that ha'ara of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sukkah, right, and on the first night of Sukkot, you're saying Kiddush, so a person should be careful on the first night of Sukkot to say Kiddush standing up. Why should you say Kiddush standing up? Because as part of Kiddush, one is going to recite a bracha, leishev basukah. And every bracha mitzvah is supposed to be done over Las Yasan, the bracha right before you do the mitzvah. So you got to be standing up so that you could then sit down after you say leishev basukah. So it'll be over Las Yasan. The Rambam's assuming that the over Las Yasan of leishev basukah is to then sit down, right? That leishev means to actually sit in the sukkah. If it was really about living in the sukkah, dwelling in the sukkah, the Rambam should have said that you should stand right outside your sukkah, say the bracha of leishev basukah, then walk in, and then it will be over Las Yasan, right after leishev basukah, you go into the sukkah. That's what he really should have said, but he doesn't. He says, you're in the sukkah already, stand up, leishev basukah, then sit down. So the Rambam implies a couple of things we see from that Rambam. First thing we see from the Rambam, most importantly, for our purposes, is that leishev basukah means to actually sit in the sukkah. The other more practical thing we see from the Rambam is that the Rambam assumed that you never stand for Kiddush. That this was a unique thing for the first night of Sukkot because of this technicality of trying to get leishev basukah. Otherwise, Kiddush Makom Suda would demand that a person sits for Kiddush. Why would a person stand for Kiddush? So, okay, Minhagim developed later on that, probably later on, that people stand for Kiddush. But the Rambam clearly doesn't hold that way. Now, Rav Shechter explains this Rambam a little differently. Rav Shechter said, what, the Rambam is going to say, really, basukah's teshuva means you have to sit? I mean, what does the Rambam really believe? And the Ravid makes this ha'ara. That's not what the words mean. The sukkah station means, oh, it has to mean you live in the sukkah. There's no way it means you have to sit in the sukkah. Like you should sleep sitting up, and you should, like the story we told the Satmar Rebbe recently, that you know, he went weeks without a bed because he didn't want to have the comfort of sleeping in a bed, so he fell asleep in a chair. So that's how we should be. We should all be falling asleep in a chair, sleep sitting up, and everything should be sitting, and we should never be standing. That's not what it means. So Rav Shechter thought that the yeshiva basukah is your maisa mitzvah. Ein achinami, the kiyum mitzvah is every moment that you're in the sukkah. But the yeshiva basukah is the maisa mitzvah. So a bracha is always recited before the maisa. It's not recited before you begin to be mekayim the mitzvah. So just being in the sukkah is a state of being. That's not a maisa. But sitting down is something active that you do. I still wasn't so clear on that, because isn't walking in also a maisa? Right? That's a maisa shtia. That's not a. I don't know about that. Because that's not a maisa of sukkah per se, I would think. Well, maybe. Meaning, if yeshiva is establishing a sense of kviyas through a maisa, so drinking is also. Drinking wine is also establishing a sense of kviyas through sukkah. I hear that. Yeah, I hear the taina. Okay, so that's part one. Where do we find that you look at the bracha in order to determine what the mitzvah is? So the number one example is Ner Chanukah. We weren't sure, Hadlakos mitzvah, Nachos mitzvah, says the Gemara, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, obviously Hadlakos mitzvah. And we pointed out that the other two examples where we find this are both by the bracha of Lesatif Batzitzis. Is it the Atifa or is it the Levisha? So, Lesatef, it's got, is it Chavas Gavra? Is it Chavas Mana? Lesatef, it's got to be Chavas Gavra. Those are the other places we find it. But Rav Asher Weiss points out that we also seem to find the opposite. We seem to find certain places where the bracha is not a reflection of the mahus of the mitzvah, of the nature of the mitzvah, but rather, due to the bracha, we alter how we do the mitzvah in order to allow our actions to conform to the bracha. Very unusual thing. The mitzvah really doesn't require, let's say, certain things of us. But once we have a bracha that says we're going to do it a certain way, then we have to get in line with the bracha. Where do we find such a thing? So to this, Rav Asher brings three examples. And I just have a feeling there's got to be more. I don't know. But we have to rack our brains a little bit. He brings three examples. First example he brings, also Nilchus Tzitzis. Shulchan Aruch Simches Siv Beis Paskins, that covering one's body is considered, with the tzitzis, considered an atifa. That's considered an ituf. But it's still better to cover the head first. And the Mishmura says, best to be choshesh akisei arosh is necessary for ituf, so go to once you cover the head. Chaznish writes, though, and this is the example, Chaznish writes in Simon Gimel, Islamat Zayin, that really it's unnecessary to cover the head, but we do it because we say a bracha l'sadeh. So it's not really necessary to cover the head when you're putting on your tzitzis, but once you're going to say l'sadeh, and l'sadeh means atifas yishmeilim, it means covering the head in some way, so you got to do that. So the mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't demand the ativis harosh, but the bracha demands it. Because once you're going to say the bracha, you have to do what you say in the bracha, otherwise you're a liar. That's how the Chazon Ish said. Now, again, the very notion that this would be true flies in the face of everything we've said until this point. Because if the mitzvah is going to get in line with the bracha, then you can't bring a raya from what the bracha is to the mahus of the mitzvah. Because we see that the mahus of the mitzvah doesn't have to be that way. We'll change it. We'll adjust it, even though it's not the mahus of the mitzvah, to whatever the bracha is. But that's problem number one with this Chazon Ish, is how could this be? That we alter our behavior in order to get in line with the bracha. No, adraba, the bracha is supposed to be a reflection of the mitzvah. The other problem with the Chazon Ish is that when we paskin that you don't need kisei arosh, it's not because you're saying you don't need an atifa. It's because you're paskining that atifa saguf is called atifa. So it's unclear what the Chazon Ish means. Really, we don't need to cover our head. Oh, but since we're saying l'satev, so you got to cover your head. Why would you have to cover your head? If we're passing that you don't need to cover your head, it's because we hold that atifa saguf is l'satev. That we're fulfilling l'satev by atifa saguf. So that's a difficult Chazon Ish to understand. A second example, the Rosh in the 10th parak of Pesachim, Simul Chafei, writes that really, there's no mitzvah tita kazayis of mara bizman hazeh. The even midine Torah, what does the Torah say? Matzos mara miyachluhu. That there's mitzvah sachila and Korban Pesach together with matzah mara. But there's no mitzvah vachilas mara per se. So the Rosh writes, yeah, you still need to hear the kazayis. Why? So no, why is he going to say you still need to hear the kazayis of mara? Because you say a bracha, alachilas mara. If you're going to say a bracha, alachilas mara, then you better do achila. Achila is always defined as a kazayis. That's a shir, alach l'moshe m'sinai, that it's always defined as a kazayis. So he seems to assume you don't really need a kazayis, masomer m'chlu, but to justify the bracha, we need to make sure there's a kazayis. In fact, Reb Chaim even goes so far in the Chidush HaGrach HaLashas that there's no independent mitzvah of mara at all. that it's really just a chelik of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, of Hadith Karban Pesach, but you still need a kezayis to justify the bracha. Because once you're reciting a bracha, al achilas, also a very strange one. Meaning, here, imagine, you know, Chazal getting together to write their list of birchas ha-mitzvahs. So what exactly went through their heads when they formulated the different brachas? There's a major discussion in the Gemara Pesach and Daf Zayin, all the Rishonim over there. When did they decide Le? When did they decide Al? Over Las Yasan, right after you do it, while you're doing it, you do it through a Shliach, you do it yourself. All the Rishonim go crazy to try to figure out exactly what, you know, the calculus involved was in figuring out these brachas. But at a very basic level, they're looking at the mitzvahs that they have, that they want to compose brachas for. And here there's a mitzvah of maror. And the nature of the mitzvah is not a kezayis. You don't need a kezayis. You just need to have some maror on your Karban Pesach, right? And they're formulating a bracha. Why on earth would they formulate a bracha al achilas maror, knowing that there is no mitzvah of eating a kezayis of maror? So you can say, well, what else should they say? There's a simple one. Al mitzvah smara. Whatever the mitzvah is. So the mitzvah is just used as a dip code to say al mitzvah smara. Why would it be this notion that the Rosh has, that it has to conform? We have to now eat a kezayis, even though midin marar, you don't have to eat a kezayis. But now we do, because the Chazal decided to make a bracha of al mitzvah smara. Very, very strange. Rav Asher thinks that the Rosh isn't really giving a reason that we have to eat a kezayis. He's just proving that the mitzvah must really be kezayis if Chazal instituted the bracha of al achilas. But that's not the way a lot of the Achronim understand that Rosh. A third example. The Torah in Siman Tav Pei Ches and in Siman Tav Resh Mem Dalet. On the days that we're Gomer Halel, he quotes that we should say, Asher Kedishadu B'mitzvosu V'tzivanu Ligmor Es HaHalel. To say, in the Nusach HaBracha, we're really going to say the whole thing this time. We're not going to skip the little letters. We're saying the entire thing. But then he quotes from Ram Rutenberg, not a good idea. Because if you say a bracha, ligmor sahalal, and then you miss one letter, one word, you're a shakran. It's a bracha levatala. It's going to make the whole thing a bracha levatala. Now, apparently, what the Ram Rutenberg is saying is that normally you skip a letter, you skip a word, nishkeferlach. Skip a letter, skip a letter. But once you say a bracha, the Gemara Sahalel, you're locked in. Now, the fact that you said that as your bracha, that changes your mitzvah. Now your mitzvah has to be Ligmar, and you better not skip anything. So Ram Rutenberg says, too risky to say a bracha like that. Because you're going to have to alter the mitzvah to conform to the bracha. So here's a third example where we alter a mitzvah to conform to the bracha. Mechaber and Raman, Siman Tav Resh Mem Dalet, argue whether we should really say Ligmar or just say Likroa Sahalel. And the Sharetzion writes that they both agree that if you miss a word or a letter, you're definitely not Yotze, just like by Mikra Megillah. Sharetzion says, you miss a word of Halel, you're not Yotze. Just like by Mikra Megillah, you miss a word of Megillah, you're not Yotze Megillah. Now that would explain why Ligmar matters, meaning that would certainly answer our question, how can the bracha make us alter how we do the mitzvah? It's not, the Sharetzion says. Anyway, halal has to be every single letter, every single word. You have to read it very carefully, the halal, according to the Sharetzion. That's the nature of the mitzvah, just like Megillah. Ligmar is a reflection. It's really in category one, the first thing we were talking about. Ligmar is a reflection of what the mitzvah already is. What Maram Rumberg was worried about is, if you don't say every word, not only will you have not done Halel, your bracha will be a sheker. But l'chora, your bracha will be a bracha levatel anyway, if you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Halel. It's a little bit strange. Also, the whole idea that it's similar to Megillah, is that true? You miss a word of Halel, and that's the same as missing a word of Megillah? He brings a raya from the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, but if you look in that Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, it doesn't exactly say that. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin does compare Halel to Megillah. You know what it says? That akore Halel lemafreya lo yatsa. If you read Halel backwards, you're not Yotze. Why? Because if you read Megillah out of order, you're also not Yotze. The sequence of events was very important in the Megillah story. If you say it backwards, we lost. Right? So it's a very important sequence of events in the Megillah story. You can't say it out of order. So halal also you can't say out of order. Nothing to do with skipping a word. And the raya, it's nothing to do with skipping a word. Let me ask you. You daven, you say Shemon Esrei, you skip a word. One word somewhere in Shemon Esrei. Are you Yotzei Shemon Esrei? You got to say the whole Shemon Esrei again? So, Pashtus is, you are Yotzei. It's not great, you're not supposed to skip words. But you're Yotzei. As long as what you said makes sense, you know, the tefillah, it is a tefillah, as long as, it, you know, the words, the way they were strung together, makes sense. And that same Gemara says, if you're mispella l'mafreya, you're not Yotzei. V'chein b'tefillah, the Gemara says. So you're going to tell me that's all about skipping a word also? Probably not. That Gemara is about l'mafreya. You skip a word by Megillah, that's a din by Megillah. By Hallel, you skip a word, you're still Yotzei. By tefillah, certainly. And Bir Alacha writes this way explicitly in Hilchos Tefillah and some Kufyud Tes. Skip a word by tefillah, you're Yotzei. It just doesn't make as much sense. So that's a difficult comment of the Shaar HaTzion. But here, if you accept this Meram Rutenberg, that there's no real mitzvah, no real requirement to say every single word of Hallel. But once you say the bracha, L'gemaras Hallel, now you're creating a requirement because your mitzvah has to conform to your bracha. So that would be a third example where the way we do a mitzvah changes so that it can conform to a bracha, even though it's not really a reflection of the mitzvah itself. And now part three. Third section of our shiur. The Dark Emotion, Simul Ches, a lot of Hilchos Tzitzis over here. Dark Emotion, Simul Ches, the Ramah writes that we say Al Mitzvah Tzitzis on Atalis Katan, which is how we paskin. Even though, I mean, when one doesn't wear a talis gadol, one recites al mitzvah sits on a talis katan. If one does wear a talis gadol, one does not recite a bracha at all on a talis katan. Some people don't know that. I know the guy who was married for 10 years told me he never heard that before. So he's saying two brachas every morning. Not supposed to do that. So we say a bracha when one does not wear a talis gadol, one recites a bracha of al mitzvah sits on a talis katan. Even though we might not be mekayim the mitzvah, says Rama, because there's no atifa, it's not the same as a talis gadol. Why then were we saying a bracha? Says Rama, Rak mevarchen Hashem yisparach shenasan lanu mitzvah tzitzis. We're blessing Hashem for giving us this awesome mitzvah called tzitzis. Vav shein mekayim osa achshav kitikna, even though right now we're not really doing that mitzvah. That's why we say al mitzvah tzitzis instead of lil bosh or lil satev tzitzis. Because lil bosh or lil satev implies lahabar. Right now, I'm saying the bracha and then I'm doing the mitzvah. Al implies l'sha'avar. That's from the Gemara Pesachim Dav Zayin. Al implies that it's a mitzvah that's there, that we've done, that, you know, it's almost like a shevach v'odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for giving us this great mitzvah called tzitzis, even though I'm not really doing it right now, because I'm only wearing a talis katan. Says the Avnei Nezer, if that's true, big if that's true, Avnei Nezer and Shin Pei Gimel Osiyud, then somebody who eats pachos mikazayis of marah could recite al achilas marah. As long as the al tells you that it doesn't have to be the actual mitzvah right now. You could just, al is about the mitzvah in general, when I'm doing some approximation of the mitzvah. You know, talis katan, less than kazayis marah, some sort of imitation of the mitzvah. You can't do it out of thin air. Right? I can't tonight say al achilas marah, al achilas matzah. That's not going to work. But it has to be some shemetz of the mitzvah that you're doing, then even though you're not really doing the mitzvah. Two problems with this. First of all, how's that possible? A birchas a mitzvah with no kiyum a mitzvah? Come on, that can't be. Is that what the Rama is really saying? That one's going to recite a birchas a mitzvah with no kiyum a mitzvah? Second of all, would you not say safek brachas lahakel on any bracha that's with the nusach is al? Well, what's the whole idea of safek brachas lahakel? Don't say another bracha because it's going to be a bracha levatala. No, it won't. It's al. It's just about the mitzvah in general. Hashem gave us this wonderful mitzvah. So there's never going to be safek brachas lahakel in any mitzvah that's al. The only place where you find something similar, that a bracha is viewed as like a shevach, you know, even though it seems like it's going on something, is by birchas erusin. But that's actually the Rishonim say might be a Berachah Shachar V'Hodah instead of Berachah Mitzvah. It's a very strange bracha. Normally, there's a dead giveaway. You look at any bracha, just look at the words, and you can tell, is it Berachah Shachar V'Hodah or is it Berachah Mitzvah? If it starts with Asher Ki Tishonim Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, boom, there you got a mitzvah. If it starts, if it does it, if it's short to the point, all mitzvahs, then you have a Berachah Mitzvah. The Berachah, if it's long and wordy and, you know, flowery, then it's not a Berachah Mitzvah. But you look at the Birchas Erisin, I'm looking inside so I don't mess it up. I don't know this sitter where it is. But I remember once I was at a chasna, and a very, very chashva Rosh Yeshiva was a Masada Kiddushin, and he got up to say the Birchas Erisin, and he skipped the Bar Priya Gafen. And he only said the Birchas Erisin. And we realized afterwards that it was his anivus that caused him to make that mistake. He didn't have a card with him or anything, and he didn't trust himself to remember it in the heat of the moment. But he did trust himself to remember Baruch Pi Agafen. So he wrote down on a little piece of paper the Birchas Erisin, but he forgot to write down. I mean, he didn't write down because he trusted that the Baruch Pi Agafen. So he only said the Birchas Erisin, not a Baruch Pi Agafen. It was an interesting shaila under the chuppah. So anyway, by the Birchas Erisin, what do we say? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu. Ooh, sounds like a Birchas Mitzvah. Allah Rayos, Vasalano Asarusos, Vitalano Sanusos, and Dechub of Gedushin. All of a sudden, we start getting into a whole Megillah over here. That sounds like Birch Shavuot Vodah. So over there, it's machlokes about what the actual nature of the mitzvah is, with many nafkaminas. Does it have to be over Las Yasan? Who says the bracha? But not that you're going to take something that's definitely a Birch Mitzvah and treat it ki'ilu, it's a Birch Shavuot Vodah. We never do that. You know, you have a similar idea by the bracha of Hamapil, that potentially, you know, some understand the Mishnah Berurah writes that by Hamapil that you should say right before you go to sleep, you shouldn't talk after you say Hamapil, because it's on the sleep. It's like a Birch Hananin on the Hana of sleep that you're about to experience. So not only Achronim are convinced that that's true, it might be a Birch Shavuot Vodah. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for creating such a wonderful thing called sleep around the time that you're planning on going to sleep. But it's, you know, that's sort of how the Ramah seems to be saying about the mitzvah of tzitzis, al mitzvah tzitzis. And the raya that he brings is a strange raya also. He says, you know, like by Mila, where we say a similar thing. What's he talking about? He's talking about the bracha of lachniso bebriso shel Avraham Avinu, not having to be over las yasan. That you don't have to make the bracha lachniso before the bris. Why not? Why don't you have to make the bracha of lachniso before the bris? Because it's a bircha shevach, a kodesh baruch hu, about the notion of bris, the concept of bris. That's a terrible raya lechora. What's his whole point? Is that whenever it's al, it's about the mitzvah in general, and his raya is from the bracha lachniso brisos Avraham Avinu. Very, very strange raya to bring for the definition. I remember once we had a bris here in shul, and it was a Sephardi family. And I didn't know what the minhagim were or what they did differently, but the Aviyah Ben never said, he forgot to say lachniso. So I went over to the mole afterwards. I said, that's a little strange that the Aviyah Ben doesn't say lachniso. He said, he didn't. so you had him say it afterwards, because I don't know. I didn't want to whatever. So Rav Asher suggests that the Darkei Moshe can't mean this. What he has to mean is that really we paskin you yotze with a talis katan. Of course you yotze with a talis katan, that's why you're saying a bracha on it. But to satisfy those who say you're not, we say the bracha in a way that also implies a broader application to the mitzvah in general. That also implies the general notion of the mitzvah. And that's why he specifically says, if you look at the Lashon, which you can't because I didn't give you Marim Kamos, but the Lashon of Darkei Moshe, Rak mevorchin es Hashem shenosa lanu mitzvah tzitzis, va'af she'ein mekaymen osa kitikna. He doesn't say she'ein mekaymen osa. We're not mekaymen osa in the best way. He says, avimashma da'achshav mekaymen mitzvah zeh, Kahogen. It's about Kitikna, Kahogen. That's what it's all about. And if that's true, then the Avni Nezer's extension of that Ramah is incorrect. If you're not eating a Kazayas of Marar, then it's not just not Kitikna, you're not doing the mitzvah at all, and Alachilas Marar would not be warranted at all. If you think of other examples of these types of things, where the bracha affects the mitzvah, or the bracha educates us about the mitzvah, please let me know. I'm interested in hearing that.